I must also say that our brother, in his prayer, presented a challenge to me. God has a man there. Does Christ have anything here? He holds the memory of his great work. And I am absolutely certain he holds that which is dear to his own blessed heart. Yeah. The chapter opens looking at that which he loves. Thou art fair, my love. And we have what I would call, at least, a bust description of her, beginning with her eyes. Thou hast dove's eyes behind thy veil. Our brother brought before us the scene of judgment. And there, the dove is introduced in the scripture. When she was first put out, there was nothing there upon which she could rest, on which she could feed. He put her out a second time. And she came in at the evening twilight with an olive leaf in her mouth. And he took her in, a female. There are seven figures in that description. I only mentioned the last one. Thy breasts. They're likened to two falls. 20 of the biggest there. Feeding among goats, balanced, mature, feeding the others. The eye in the right direction, feeding the right ducks among goats. The bridegroom, it would seem, isn't speaking to anybody here. I think the big word is soliloquizing. Just speaking to nobody in particular. This is what he says. Until day breaks, and the shadows be with, I will get me to the mountain of men and to the hill of Jesus. The dawn, the sunrise. What a wonderful thought! And the glory of God covers me. The waters cover the sea. And the shadows. repentance.
It's a morning appointment. When Isaac went out, it was an evening scene. Evening twilight. And Rebecca came in. We are quite sure, and from Scripture we're quite sure, that the evening is gone, and the midnight is gone, and the cockcrow is gone, and we're moving along the shadows of the moon. But until that happens, it's not a glorious moment. It's far less. Until it arrives. This is what he says. I will get thee to the mountain of Man and to the hill of frankincense. I have chosen the greatest, most prominent, most glorious presentation of marriage. Sure. In chapter 1, it's a wonder. A bundle of myrrh is my well beloved unto me. He shall pass the night with wicks. He's gone. It's the night of his absence. There are those who cherish the memory of his love. And they find that precious spot for it to rest. It's the preciousness of love. In chapter 3, she's coming up from the wilderness, and she's powdered with myrrh and frankincense and all the powders of the merchants. The day of glory is in you. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and behold, King Solomon, with the crowns bearing with him, not crowned him, in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart, is the aroma of milk. The aroma of milk. It will permeate that seed of blood in the memory of his love. In chapter 5, it's flagging affections. Flagging affections. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door the marks of his love. I opened to my beloved, and you couldn't go into the presence of the Lord without receiving a distinct impression. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. It was liquid myrrh. Dropped with myrrh upon the hands of God.
It's the compassion of myrrh.
My bowels were moved out. But in chapter 4, it towers, grand, majestic, towering in the sky, mountain. The bridegroom is a speaker. He knows that. He trod it. And he trod it alone. He trod it alone.
and a wonderful day.
And to whom?
Ends of the age of God. I think it was Jean Brun who had signed.
It was the Arjun, did? Rather than the ages.
No, my words.
No.
The words of an owner. The accumulated revenue of the ages. Man lives in a wonderful day. Progress, advancement, and so on. Courage, persistence, endurance, the poles of the earth. Bear the marks of human progress and courage and daring. Until very recently, Mount Everest stood. The great challenge, the great challenge. Something like 28,500 feet had been reached. What is, I think the word place was a southern call. And the summit stood, the Lahoud space stood, as the great test to endurance, skill, science, tenacity. We can go and add words. Man who organized the climb, he couldn't face Lahoud's face. Sir John Hunt, to Edmund Hillary, must fall the responsibility of reaching the top. And John Hunt placed into his hand a little object. And he says, put that at the top. Edmund Hillary reached the top with tensing. And he put it, a little cross, a mighty mountain, a little cross. But we have in Calvary a little room. And I'd like to see you. I'd like to see you. Mount Everest stands with its eternal snow. But Calvary's bloodstained. And it's innocent blood. But he likes to move in the realm of memory, moving, retracing that scene which he trod, and trod alone. Abraham, in his day, it would almost seem a stern word. He says to him, God says to him, get out. Get out into the land of Moriah. And I'm going to show you the mountain. And he was out these 3 days. I lived up with eyes and saw it. And he placed the wood on Isaac's shoulders. John, in his gospel, presents the picture to us of the Lord alone carrying his cross. Very simple language. He, his, he, precious Savior, bearing his cross, great Savior, went forth to the place called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, the mighty Savior. When the great moral questions were raised, in the moral excellency and worth of his life, he stood the test. Mighty Savior. There is a mighty mountain. And there is a hell of an instance. There are those who appreciate what he's done. And I've often thought the little bundles have become a hell. A mountain of man and a hill of frankincense. Much could be said about this beautiful passage of scripture, this fourth chapter. But I'll close with the end of it. Awake, thou north wind! Awake, thou north wind! The poet has said, welcome, brave North Easter, shame it is to see, word to every zephyr, near a verse to thee. But he didn't know this passage. The poet didn't know this passage. Awake, thou North Wind! You might not like the North Wind, but it will do us good. After all, the North Wind blows everywhere. But not here. Okay. Well, it goes upon his balcony. Awake thou north wind, and so it comes. Bitter. Biting. Chilling to the bone. What happens? You part with the dead leaves, and you can afford to do it. And weak, sappy growth is blasted back to the bark. That's on the top. What happens below the soil? The roots go down, rooted and grounded in love. But you know, the north wind stops blowing, and it comes from the south. It's taken me about 20 years to see that the rod is first in the 23rd Psalm. It's first. And the north wind's first here. And now the south wind blows. The north wind's the consolidating wind. I get something built in. We want it built in. And when the south wind comes, it'll grow solid, mature growth. Let my beloved come into his garden. God will never give it up. The thought of it. It's many other things. Garden clothes, a spring shovel, a fountain sealed, and springs from Lebanon. Is it the myrtle tree? Springs from Lebanon. Let my beloved come into his garden. And it's his alone. And the fruit there, let him eat. It's